The Reserve Pool, Episode 19, Good Looking Dice. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Reserve Pool. This is episode number 19, and this is Dave.
And this is Evan.
And once again, Katie, she is still gallivanting around the cosmos with some man she met with a police box or something. I'm not too keen on the details, but hopefully she's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The time may be involved or something.
Something like that. Unfortunately, she did stop long enough to send us a message. Strangely enough, I found it written in a book that I had already had for years, but it was a new message from Katie, and it said that, sorry, the file for the one that we were going to do about the awesome common cards is gone. She lost it somewhere in a vortex of something. So
maybe some screaming gargoyles or something were involved. I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe the Weeping Angels touched it and zapped it 70 years ago. I couldn't tell you. But the practical upshot of that is we're going to have to re-record that at some time that is not now.
Right.
Right. Today we're going to talk about the dice that we think look the best in this game because, you know, a good game is one thing, but good components are important too. And there are some of these dice that we love to look at when we're rolling them, and there are some that maybe not as much, but we're going to talk about the good ones today.
Yeah.
Yes. But before we do that...
And good dice make functional jewelry, as Katie would say.
Yes. Yes, they do. And we'll have to shout that out later on in the show.
Yep.
Before we do that, Evan, you were telling me pre-show that you had the chance to play a game that's kind of a hotness right now.
Yeah, I got a chance to play Dead of Winter a week or so ago. It's it lives up to the hype. It was a lot of fun to play. It's really neat because there is a sort of asymmetric aspect to it. But it's not necessarily going to be that way, as opposed to, like, Battlestar Galactica or something. So you could have it where everybody is working together, but you never know. And it was really funny, because we really did seem like we were working together up till the very last turn, and then it became very obvious someone was betraying, and almost succeeded in stabbing us in the back, but we managed to prevent them from winning too, and that's what's important.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, so Dead of Winter, as I understand it, is a kind of a co-op repetitive game, as we've talked about before, where everybody is generally working together, but one, there might be a traitor, and two, there are certain individual goals where if you don't meet those goals, even if everybody wins, you lose because you didn't meet your individual goal.
Right.
But yeah, so actually, what I'm curious more though, from the mechanical standpoint, because we know what the game is,
right?
It's well known at this point.
When survival, I hear people talking about this,
yes,
with zombies,
yes. When I hear people talking about this, though, what they say is that they come away from the game with like a story to tell about what happened. Did you feel that way? Did you really feel that there was a narrative building as you went through the game?
Yeah, I mean, one of their mechanics, the crossroads mechanic, is the player to the right of you gets this card, and they only look at there's a condition at the top of it, and if that condition is not met, and it can be someone moves a character from a place to another place, someone has their character at the home base, someone yawns, if that condition's not met, no one looks at it further, but if it does get met, then you read the rest of the card, and there's, you know, sometimes a hard choice to make or other amusing things happen. I found that frequently it was you can take a risk and maybe get something, or you can just ignore it and then just go on. There weren't a lot of, like, things where something bad happens, something worse happens, which I guess is kind of nice. But just that gives a lot of interesting stories in that, like, because some of them are very character specific targeted, and given that it's a deck of like 100 or 150 cards, it's a fairly sizable stack of cards, that, you know, you just happen to have drawn the trucker and you just happen to be coming back from the gas station, and this particular event happens. So it's got that little bit of like game prescience that really kicks into a story.
That's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to this one. I have some credit on Cool Stuff Inc. So as soon as this one's released, I'm definitely looking forward. I see the 24th here. That can always change a little bit. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. We had our game night this Saturday. We've tried to meet monthly over the summer. Vacations kind of got away from us. We played some cool stuff though. I had my first experience with Dutch Blitz, which is a ridiculous game, kind of like the card game Spit. That was insane. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. But no, we played something a little lighter just to kind of change a pace. We played Imagine If as a part of the game night, where you imagine like either a different player is something or which player would be this, and you have different cards where you vote and everything like that. It's one of my favorite kind of party games where it's more, one, it's a little more about the experience, and two, it's a little more decided by some of the voting and the group dynamic and everything like that rather than anything else, you know, sort of in the way that, you know, an apples to apples would be.
Cards Against Humanity, or, I think, cards, is the big one now.
Or even Dixit with the voting and the selection and the guessing. So we had this one. Now let me preface this with, I am 6'4", and I am quite clearly the tallest person in the game group. It was, imagine if a player at the table was Big Bird, who would it be? And everybody voted. It was like just a given. Everybody was voting for me. I mean, everybody was like, oh, this is real hard. And including myself, of course. Well, we all revealed our cards, and I'm looking, and I feel like everybody put the wrong number. No, it's because I grabbed the wrong card and said it was my friend Rochelle, who is probably a foot shorter than me-ish. And, yeah, I felt it. I'm like, come on, guys. Clearly, I meant me. Like, duh. And they didn't let me move the space ahead. I was bitter. Yes. But enough about other games that we're playing. Let's move on to the Dice Masters, A Conversation.
Indeed.
Yes. Okay, before we begin this, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that there was an update to the FAQ done recently. There's nothing of special significance in there, just some good clarifications. So if you haven't checked that out, or if that kind of passed you by, give that a look. It confirms a couple of things that we had already theorized about. But again, there's nothing too earth-shattering in there. Just might answer a few things or clarify a few things for you. And I think it really only answered, what would you say, Evan, like maybe three or four additional questions?
I think it was about five.
Perhaps.
I think the most important one is that it does, between that and the previews we've seen of the Uncanny X-Men rulebook, I think they're finally getting to pin down that how does damage work in combat that isn't from characters punching each other in the face. So,
yeah, that's fair.
I think we're finally going to really understand how that works in a definitive sense. So that's great. No more arguing that point.
Yeah, exactly. So regardless of any of that, that's not what we're talking about right now.
Right.
We are going to go for some lighter fare. We are discussing our top 10 good-looking dice. We tried the top 10 format a couple weeks ago. We really enjoyed putting it together. It was a lot of fun to compare notes and argue and go back and forth with that kind of thing. So Evan and I are going to try the same thing right here. So we're looking for the dice that just speak to us aesthetically, whether it's the quality of the die itself, the color scheme, the logo design, how it fits the character, all those sorts of things, and whatever that meant individually to us, in sum total. That's what we're looking for here. So, Evan, why don't you? Well, actually, yeah. Why don't you start us off with your number 10, Evan?
I can't because you put it higher than me.
Yes, I did. We'll have to go up the list and see that one. That's okay. I did the same thing when we started off our first top 10 list. My number 10, oh, Katie has it. So, yes. So then my number 10, I chose here Green Goblin. I really like the look of this die. I like the purple and green color scheme on it. I like the little Goblin-y logo there. I think it just sort of kind of fits the nature of the character, the kind of little bit crazy, a little bit nutso, whimsical aspects, even if you would, for him. It's a neat looking die, and I like the stark color scheme of it. I think it's a nice contrast. Green Goblin.
I don't hate the Green Goblin. I mean, you all know I'm a big fan of Green Goblin. But honestly, every time I see the icon, I'm reminded of Kang the Conqueror for no particular reason. I don't even know. I think it's just because he's purple and the head is vaguely shaped in the same way. Also, it in my tackle box of dice, it sits right next to Hulk, which is the exact same shade of green. So every time I go to dig for a Green Goblin die, half the time I pull out a Hulk and, like, incorrect. Especially because, little colorblind, the purple and the black kind of... So I don't think it's a bad-looking die. I just associate it with it. Things not so great. So that's why I didn't make my list.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, it was my number 10, obviously. You know, we don't have what we have, like 30-some characters in the set. So, I mean, we're still just, he's just in my top third. And it was close for me on a couple of others, but we'll see where the conversation leads us. Yep. All right, Evan.
Okay, for number 9, I put Human Torch, because red things are nice. And I actually like his icon. It's one of the few, like, full body shots of a character. And I think the yellow on the transparent-ish red, or opaque, I don't know, not opaque, translucent, whatever. I think it looks pretty nice.
See-through-ish.
I think that's translucent as opposed to transparent.
I think you're right.
Words. But yeah, I've always kind of liked the icon. Just pops really nicely. It's that Human Torch with the fire coming out of him as he goes shooting through the sky. I like the colors on it. It's a nicely put die. I haven't seen too many that are badly inked or anything. So,
unfortunately, I have seen a few that are badly inked, and that kind of was a knock against it. I like the logo like you, but I think that in some of the detail there, it was either there's some stuff that's either flecking away a little bit or
I said that
it was a little oversaturated.
I said that, and then I looked at one of the dice, and yeah, it's under inked.
Right.
I make poor decisions sometimes.
Way to go, gosh. All right. My number 9 is Wolverine. I'm not sure what it is exactly about this one. I just like it. The logo is very simple. It's a claw mark, but what better for Wolverine? The yellow and the blue just fit the character. And there's something about that yellow. It's just like a little bit... it's not like a bright, sunny yellow. It kind of has a little bit of a darker edge to it. I don't know what you'd
call it. A little ochre-y or something.
Yeah, something like... it's funny. I was just watching an episode of Bob Ross's Joy of Painting, and I was trying to... It was a bit of a cadmium. I don't know. a happy little tree. But I don't know. Regardless, it's a good-looking die. I like the color scheme. The ones that I have are very sharp. But yeah, in general, it's just a nice die. It's very simple. But that's all that you need. It looks good. It's well inked. I just dropped it on the floor. I think it's wonderful in its simplicity. Wolverine, my number 9.
Yep. I'm not a huge fan of Wolverine himself, despite how much I like X-23, who. Well, I think they're doing an X pattern for her claw mark, so it won't be that easy to confuse it with Wolverine's. But I agree. I like that. It's one of the, I feel that there are a lot of dice that don't really match the color schemes of their character, and Wolverine's does.
Yep.
Well, one of his color schemes. He's got like 14 of them.
That's fair. I think, and we're going to see another one when we go to the Uncanny set.
Yeah, I don't remember if it's the tan and brown or black and yellow or.
I think it's the tan and brown. So, I think I could be wrong.
I know it was dark color for the die, but I'm not remembering right now. Anyway, Wolverine's probably like my number 11 or so. But he didn't quite make the cut because I'm not really a big fan of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Holding it against his die.
Yes, indeed. All right, Evan, so let's go on to your number 8.
Yeah, my number 8 was Black Widow because it's a really clean die. Black and red, simple symbol, very emblematic of the character. You can't miss it. There's nothing complicated to it. I've seen very few of them that are poorly inked. Honestly, I find the black and red dice are really nice, as we'll... actually, if you look at my list, black figures very heavily, so maybe I like black some, who knows. But, yeah, it's just a really clean dice, and while it's not the most inspiring symbol of the Black Widow hourglass, it gets its point across.
It absolutely does, yeah. Yeah, she just missed my list. Another black and red die also just missed my list. That would be Spider-Man. All my Spider-Mans are pretty clean. I see you don't have them on yours either. So, yeah, I think in general, black and if it had red and black and the color, generally the die probably looks pretty good. Of course, we just have like 3 or 4 of those. But my point stands anyway. I don't care. So yes. Let's go on then. My number 8 is higher up on Evan's list, so we will fly on over that way a bit later on.
To my number 7, which is Vibranium Shield. Again, very clean dye, red and white. Captures Cap's shield as best you can without using a third color. all they need is that one blue band, and it would look amazing. Or 2 blue bands? I don't remember the exact patterning, but regardless. Again, really clear, captures the essence of the, not character, but what it's supposed to represent. I haven't seen too many of them badly inked either.
What I don't like about Vibranium Shield is that they push the logo up on the double burst face. It's higher, and I can't tell. I think it's the same size.
Yeah,
I think
wow.
It's a little smaller.
Man.
But they push the logo up on the double burst face, almost to the curved edge on that face. And I don't like that. It is a very clean-looking die. You're very right. And if I'm looking just on the face where it has the single, you know, it's level 1 face, for lack of a better way, even though it's an action, that's great. If you turn it to the level 3 double burst, Not sure I'm a fan.
I honestly never noticed that.
Yep.
And yeah, man, you're off the list. I'll have to put in Wolverine somewhere.
Fair enough. My number 7, Storm. As with Human Torch, it's translucent. I love the lightning bolt logo. I think one of my Storms was a bit off on the ink, but in general, it looks really cool. That that translucent navy blue with the white emblazoned on it works very well for me. Very clear, easy to see, easy to read, and it looks cool. I love those translucent ones, especially, you know, you look through and there's the bubble in the middle there. That's just kind of inevitable. Storm is my number 7.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking about her putting her on my list, but ultimately I think what kept her from it was, while I think the Storm, the lightning bolt icon does represent Storm, it does signify Storm, I feel like they could have made it a little less mountainy looking.
Like, less what?
A little more lightning bolty.
Oh.
Or, I don't know, a little more forking, because I realize they don't want to make it look like the bolt energy. But like, it
well,
looks
they're
like
have
some
that
sort
problem.
Of jaggy abstract.
Yeah, they're going to have that problem in DC Dice Masters when they have Flash. It's going to be bolt energy, but with a circle around it.
What are they going to do with Iron Fist when he comes out?
Who knows? It's difficult to say.
He's going
to
be a shield die. That's what's going to happen.
You know, actually, I can understand what you're saying there. What I thought you were going to mention was the dark color scheme of the die, and my argument there was going to be that, like, you know, she She flies up in the air and everything clouds up and gets dark, and that's sort of what that represented.
Oh, I was actually more going to say, I usually like it when they do things related to their costumes, and Storm has many costumes, so I can't say definitively, you know, navy blue and white, that's never happened. I would have expected fair. More like the gray or the silvery gray with some white on it, but
yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
All right then, moving on.
My number six is Dave's number eight, and it is Angel. You might be able to tell by now, I'm sort of a sucker for really clean dice. This is a nice sort of, not quite pearlescent, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a
nice... It looks cool.
Yeah, it's a nice sort of warm blue, not really opaque, but not really translucent. Dish, like kind of cloudy, which I think fits well with a character who flies. And this, the icon, it's just a little halo, but I think it really conveys, you know, this is Angel. He's got the halo. And nice and clean colors, blue and white. That's, I think, usually the colors associated with him. Maybe some gold. I don't know offhand. Not that big up on Angel, but.
I actually remember Angel as being in a lot of red, which is what kept him down for me because, you know, when I first pulled out Angel dice, I was like, wait, what? So as far as aesthetics of the die itself, top notch. I'm totally with you. The only thing that's really weird on a couple of mine, actually, let me look at another here. Yeah, the text on his level... Well, what is it? I guess this is level one face here.
It's much bolder.
It's much bolder than the rest of the die, and I'm not sure I understand what happened there. That face is fantastic, especially. But then everything else is just a little thinner, a little less inked.
I also noticed the single shield face seems to kind of be a little depressed.
Yeah, it goes in. I think you see that on a couple of dice, and I don't actually mind that. I kind of like that if that keeps the ink away from being... the thing that clatters. I'm cool with that. But yeah, that was also my number six, or number eight. I like it too. All right. Next is my number six, and that is Magneto. I really like these dice that have that kind of marbling to them, and this is no exception. I can understand that some people might not like the pink on the red, but... for me, I think it really works for Magneto. The icon is the helmet. I love the detailing around the helmet. It looks, I mean, it's exactly the right shape, and they did a pretty good job inking around some pretty intricate spots there in what is really just a mass-produced little cube of plastic. So, Magneto, it looks cool. I really like it.
Yeah, I'm actually, it didn't make my list for pretty much the exact reasons Dave said. I don't think the pink on red is terribly clear, and most of the dice I have, at least on some of the faces, there's the inking didn't really sit well in the crannies of his mask, helmet, I guess it is. So that's kind of why I didn't make it my list. I agree, the icon is fantastic, and if I'm remembering right, the Uncanny X-Men version, I think, is much clearer.
Fair enough. That's right. It is. Yeah.
It uses a different color scheme that I found better. But.
All right. Well, you're up then, Evan, with number five.
Yep. Speaking of the sort of pearlescent mottled shiny dice, I picked Venom. Venom is white on black, which, as you may have guessed, nice, clean pattern. Really like it. I also like how they sort of use just... they didn't need to put a circle or a head shape on it. It's just the eyes and the jaws. And just using the black dye for background on that. And I think it really has a nice effect. That none of the other sort of human heady shaped ones... well, not that there's many of them. But none of the others, they all had like a football-y shaped head and... I think this leaves that out, and it's implied very well. I think the only reason why this die didn't go higher is that I've noticed several of them have sort of bubbling on one of their faces.
Yeah, and actually that's exactly why he missed. I don't have a single version of this guy, of Venom, and I'm really disappointed because I love Venom as a character. I don't have a single version of him that does not have a significant flaw on at least one face of the die. I have several that have some really awful blemishings there. Actually, this would be, if I had to choose, do a bottom 10, Venom might be my number one on the bottom 10. I just have too many Venom dice that look awful.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately. I think overall the die looks really well. Just it didn't get cast well.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, my number five is Colossus, and this was Evan's number 10. I stole his thunder right there at the beginning. Once again, another one of those marbled dice. I really dig that. Well, once again, another one that has a little bit bolder on the level. One face, which is interesting. I wonder if that was intentional. We're seeing that with a lot of these. But regardless of any of that, it looks cool. You have the hammer and sickle there for the logo. You have the marbling, as Evan would say, very clean, well inked on all faces of just about every one of these that I have. It just looks nice. It's a good-looking die, that kind of off-white marbly thing. It looks solid.
It implies metal, which that's what Colossus is all about.
Yes,
so I thought it
true.
Was nice, a nice thematic die. Even though the hammer and sickle, at first blush, I was like, oh, hey, I didn't know Winter Soldier was in this set.
Fair.
But I don't know what else they could have really picked for Colossus.
Yeah.
So I think it works.
Yeah, you're right. That's now that you've put words to it, it's definitely like that metallic. They kind of called it something metallic that does it there. Yeah, good call by you.
My number four should surprise almost no one, except maybe why isn't it number one? My number four is Ghost Rider, who, as I've said many times, I'm a huge fan of. Mostly because I just really like the icon. It's a flaming skull. How can you not like a flaming skull? It's usually pretty clean. The yellow, the sort of slightly orange yellow works well with the black dye. And I like Ghost Rider. I think the only reason it didn't go higher was some of my top three, I think, were even cleaner.
The one weird thing about my Ghost Rider dice is that all of that yellowish orange seems to be a slightly different color. I think I have like two, maybe three different versions of my Ghost Rider die that all appear to be different colors, which is a little odd. And I also, he kind of has that not quite translucent thing going as well. And it's this weird kind of brownish gray that I don't know, it kind of looked like a mud puddle. And that kind of kept me away from him. I'm not sure I can quantify this color any better than that, but
I guess I'm just not quite sensitive. And the color blindness is just enough to say that's black, but I totally did that. It totally took me like 3 or 4 weeks to realize that Nightcrawler's dye is not black. So,
hey, whoa, wait.
Hey, I'm just saying, just like with Ghost Rider, that now that you pick it up, you point it out, I realize, no, that's kind of like a dark gray, a smoky gray, which I think is a cool color, so it stays. But, yeah, definitely see what you mean by a little muddy, but
yeah,
I guess I just don't have good enough eyes.
That's all right. That brings us then to my number four, which is Loki. I like the green color of this die. The green and the yellow looks really cool. I've been a Green Bay Packers fan for a while, too, so maybe there's something to that. The logo, again, it's Loki. It's clearly Loki. I think some of the dice are a little more abstract. I don't think you could look at Silver Surfer and say, oh, that definitely represents Silver Surfer.
It's a toaster.
Yeah. I don't think you could do that. I don't know that I there are just a few of them. I don't think you could look at it and say, yep, that's definitely that character, but this is definitely one where you can. You have his helmet there. The green is just, again, a really cool color. You got that semi-translucent thing, and I guess if there's a theme here, it's I like the somewhat translucent dice, and I like the marbly dice. Then Loki is one of those two, and so he is my number four. Wow.
Okay. I do like the green dye. It sort of reminds me of a Jolly Rancher. clearly Loki is sour apple flavored. But
the best flavor.
Yeah. Yep. nailed it in one. And I do like the horns, because they're very iconic of Loki, even though he hasn't sported them for some time in the comic, as he's been de-aged or something. Or not something, he's been de-aged. But yeah. Ultimately, it just didn't make the cut for me. There were other dice I'd like more. I think the yellow does, you know, obviously green and yellow are his colors, but they don't work as well together for me as, you know, sort of more contrasting colors would. I don't think they work poorly, but I figure I like the light on dark a little more, as evidenced by pretty much almost every pick I've made.
Yeah, you prefer the high contrast.
Yeah.
Good enough. All right, so you're number three.
My number three was Black and White Punisher. Mm. You really can't. This is a character whose thing was perfectly made for being on a die. It's the skull. You don't need anything else to convey Punisher. It's Punisher. I've seen very few of the dice that were significantly flawed in production or badly inked. It doesn't have that weird, like, one face is lopsided in how inked it is. And you don't really get much cleaner than white ink on black dye. So,
yeah, this is a cool one. And really, upon reflecting, like, I don't know if I just didn't, if I looked past it or didn't think of it, but this probably could have been on my list as well. This is just a neat looking die, and that's all I could really say about it. It's cool. My number three is higher up on Evan's list, so let's move on for now.
Yep. My number two is someone who, while I do not necessarily use them in actual games, I really like their die. And that would be Mr. Fantastic. Again, white on blue. It's a nice color blue. I really do like the color blue. And it pops really, really well. And I like that, you know, it's maybe a little, you know, who is this? I thought, like, the bee-themed people were in DC. But
I said the same thing. I was like, wait, what?
But if you've been following the more recent arcs with the Future Foundation, it's obvious right away that this is Reed, or Mr. Fantastic, rather, because he's the top person of the Future Foundation when Johnny Storm was dead for a bit.
Well, I can't speak to that, but okay.
Yep. And honestly, I mean, it's much as I like the black dice, the blue here is just amazing. Is just one of my favorite colors, and the only thing that really kept it from the number one position was some of my dice are a little not well inked.
Yeah, same problem with mine, but I think it's a nifty shade of blue. The logo didn't jump out at me. It confused me just as much. Though maybe we should take something from the fact that it's Mr. Fantastic of the Fantastic Four, but there were only three little hexagons on his die, and we only have three Fantastic Four in the game, so I think what that says to Katie is that we will never get Sue Storm.
Nah, I'm thinking we're gonna see her in Age of Ultron. Or else
Katie will go
on a rampage. On
yes. So my number two also involves a nifty shade of blue, and that is Cyclops. The logo is his eyepiece. The coloring, you can't do better for Cyclops there. It's the blue and the yellow. You know what I mean? That's Cyclops. unless you want to find a way to include his hair. In fact, I think if you put his hairstyle on this die, it would even be all the more Cyclops. It's a nice looking die. The logo, solid, clean, understandable, readable. They did a very nice job with this one. Color and everything all.
They could have honestly given him a lot of different color schemes. He's actually doing more black and red now, which I would have appreciated, but...
Yeah, that's just how I look at that. That's how I think of Cyclops, especially from the cartoon that we keep talking about, the video games growing up. I mean, as someone who doesn't follow the comics, this is nostalgic Cyclops.
Yeah, I mean, all the 90s guys are all yellow, and many of them had blue. So, like Wolverine.
Hey.
But honestly, I just, much as that's, it's a decent shade of blue, but it's more of a sky blue, and I like the slightly darker blues.
That's fair.
And I'm also not a big fan of yellow. So also fair. That kept it down for me.
All right. So we are now at the very top of each of our lists. Evan, why don't you go on?
My number one was Dave's number three and is Deadpool. This should not surprise many people considering my choices so far. The black on red works really well. It's Deadpool's colors. The icon is the Deadpool icon. It literally nails pretty much everything. I haven't really seen any poorly inked one looking at a number of them. There's one with a little bit of ickiness, but it's minor considering some of the other horrors I've seen. I'm looking at you, War Machine.
Oh my gosh, we'll talk about that later.
But it really hits pretty much all the points. Black and red is a fantastic combination. And it's a slightly darker red than Spider-Man's.
Yes. I think...
Which I like better.
I didn't put this as my number one, but I do think that this, as far as production values go, this is probably the best die in the set. Now, that said, I have one Deadpool die that as good as, like, the four that I keep in my regular carrying case go look. As good as those look, this one is horrible. Like, something happened to that tie. It had an unhappy childhood or something went on in its life. I don't know.
The Icarus tie got a little too close to the sun, partially melted.
I guess. As good as all the other ones look and everybody's that I've seen look, this one looks horrible. This one specifically looks worse than all of my Venoms combined. In general, this is a fantastic die. It's so tight. It doesn't look like there's any extra ink that doesn't belong or anywhere where it was not inked well enough. This is probably the best die of the set. No question, a great number one pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on you, Evan.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely. My number one. I went with Nightcrawler. The logo is maybe not the most indicative of Nightcrawler, but hey, that's his tail right there. What I really like the most, though, is that very, very subtle blue that his dye is. If you look at it, you might think, oh, black and red. But if you look at it again, it is a almost translucent navy blue. It's very subtle, and I think it matches the dark tone of Nightcrawler's features, the very, you know, the aspect of the night and sort of the subtlety that the character has with his powers of teleportation and everything else that he can do. I think the understatedness of various aspects of the die match Nightcrawler's character very well. I think it's a cool looking die. I love the blue. And I think part of that is also because, like Evan alluded to earlier, I think a lot of people had this experience. They picked up the dye one day and all of a sudden realized that it wasn't black. And I definitely had that too. And I was like, oh, wow, I like this even more now. So, yeah, just that, again, that subtle kind of understatedness to the dye, I think, really fits with Nightcrawler. And all in all, makes it very cool. It kind of has that little surprise built into that I think most Dice Masters fans experienced when they picked them up.
I totally had the reverse feeling. I realized it wasn't black, and I was like, you lied to me, Di. You lied to me. And I no longer liked it.
That's fair. Well, we've beat around the bush for this one. Let's talk about some of our... if you had to pick one die that you thought was just, like, why did you make this die this way, WizKids, what would you pick?
Doctor Strange.
Really?
I've mentioned that I'm not a huge fan of Doctor Strange. And a lot of it is, to me, that the icon is just... I realize it's the Eye of Agamotto, or I think it's the Eye of Agamotto, but it kind of looks blobby, and it's just like it's some random runic symbol. And the color scheme, I don't even understand why they picked the color scheme. It's like neither green nor, I think it's black, or maybe dark blue, who knows. Neither of these has much to do with Doctor Strange. Hmm. So it's like they just completely missed it on thematic, the thematic thing. I actually said this in my character review of him, that, you know, I don't understand why they didn't pick like blue and red and used his used sort of that high neck collar.
Yeah,
that's much more emblematic of Doctor Strange.
I can't speak to that at all because I had pretty much zero familiarity with Doctor Strange going into this, so I couldn't really, you know, say anything one way or another about him. But it's a weird looking die. Aesthetically, I don't care for it. The logo looks cool, but I mean, it's just. This one is one that I think is just a little too dark, and I don't know. I don't use the character all that much, to be honest. Yeah. So there's that.
That's the other thing, that the dark green with black.
Yeah,
it's not very good contrast.
Yeah.
If I had to be honest, he's probably not my least favorite die. Like, he's probably my least favorite die for that. Like, he fails the thematic so hard.
Fair enough.
But I don't think he's the worst done die.
I think the worst done die is War Machine. We alluded to that earlier. It's so hard to read that it's gray on gray. And I understand it's War Machine and he's a lot of gray, but this is gray on gray and it's very difficult to read. It doesn't look that exciting. It doesn't look like anything I want to use. It's gray.
And it looks like there were inking problems on it, too.
Yeah, parts of it. And you see, though, I can't tell. Were there inking problems, or is it just a factor of it being gray on gray? It's just very bland. It's difficult to read, especially if it hits a glare. The logo makes sense. It's definitely War Machine's face. You know, but
really hard. If I didn't look at the numbers, it was hard to tell which way was up.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I can understand that if you didn't know it was War Machine, too, especially. But yeah, in general, UGLY, this ain't got no alibi. That about wraps it up for this one. Also, because my battery is probably very close to dying because I'm mobile right now. So let's wrap this one up, Evan. Before we get to the very end, I do want to remind everybody to follow us on Twitter, give us iTunes reviews, help us spread the word. Let us know if there are some specific things that you would like to hear about. We've had some suggestions for more discussions of games and so forth. Some of my playing against, like, well, these guys here, Evan and Katie, have been a lot fewer and farther between. Had some troubles with getting those set up on the webcam, having some troubles getting to the store to play, to be honest, with some things happening at work and starting up grad school again, but still playing. So that's a possibility for the future. But let us know if there's some other things that you'd like us to talk about. If someone wants to teach me how to use Vassal, that Horatio fellow keeps offering, and I got to take him up on it sometime. So, yes. So a little lighthearted discussion. Hope you guys enjoyed it. The news for future Dice Master sets keeps trickling out. Hopefully we will have some more solid things as we come up on the release here. But certainly no shortage of cards to talk about in the upcoming weeks. And rest assured, we're going to be doing that.
Yeah, they just put out actually the starter box for Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah.
And... Yeah. I unfortunately can't really say much about it. I recognize exactly two dice, so because I know almost nothing about Yu-Gi-Oh!
I know that Yu-Gi-Oh! Exists. Yeah, that's going to be a harder one for me to talk about, too, in general, just because I know, you know, a big part of the fun of this for me is characters that I recognize, and that's why I'm so pumped for DC, especially, as everybody who listened last week could tell. Yu-Gi-Oh! I recognize very little of that, and I'm hoping it sort of ends up like the D&D, where it's not 100% compatible, it's semi-compatible, so that I don't necessarily feel obligated to buy something.
I did see
that's
a guy
an IP that I don't.
I did see a guy whose level one face was 6'5". And I rubbed my hands together in glee a little bit.
Well, but that's fair. All right. Well, that's about it for us. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We will catch you again in 1 week when we might actually finally for real talk about commons. But until then, have fun playing games, especially if you're playing Dice Masters, but whatever you might choose to play.
Yep. Have
and
a
we'll
good
see
one.
You next time.
And we'll be back next time with a Katie.
Probably.
Probably. Unless she's still lost in the time vortex.
You got it. See you later.
See ya. Thank you.